It's wonderful to be back sharing a message. It feels like I haven't done this for a while in our home church. So it's wonderful to share time with you guys tonight, even though it seems like we're a bit slimmed out tonight. I'm actually excited about that because I believe I've got a specific word and the right people are here tonight. Amen? Great. Thanks for the excitement there. We're going to need some more excitement. I want to invite you tonight on a journey that I'm personally on and the Lord has just challenged me to be on. And it's a journey to pursue the faith. The Bible says that God has given us, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, and He's given us a measure of faith, but then, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight, there's a responsibility on your and my behalf to go and use, to go and increase the faith that he has given us. And we're going to talk about that tonight, but I want to invite you, and I want to almost ask you guys to put up your hands while I'm preaching tonight, if you want to join me on this journey of strengthening your faith, if you want to put it that way. And I want to just share you, it's something that the Lord has been speaking to me the last 2 months about. And I'm going to share some stories from the DRC. I'm sure the guys are on the same journey as I am. But I want to invite you guys to participate in this. And I've just been thinking about the whole thing of faith. And I've realized that in the church today, and let's say the church in South Africa or the church in the West, there's a lot of things that we value. There's a lot of things that we treasure and we hold dear. And I think if I can just think of a lot of things, of a couple of things is, you know, we in the Western church, we value knowledge. Okay, so if you've studied a lot, or if you know a lot of the scriptures, if you know theology, or if you know of popular Christianity, of what people said and this and that, that to us is valuable. Okay, so a lot of us read books and we like reading books and we like getting more information. I think knowledge is one of the things that we really value. I don't know if you guys agree with me. Okay, knowledge is something we value. We value stewardship. Okay, we really add a lot of value to taking care of the resources that God has entrusted to us. Okay? We value time. Amen? I think if we do a sermon on, you know, how to effectively, or we get this recipe to how to effectively, you know, manage your time, I think a lot of us would be interested. You know, because time is a very precious commodity to us. Okay? So there's lots of things, and I actually want to encourage you to go down and even go practically sit down and make a list. What are the things that you value, and what are the things that you value the most? So sort of prioritize it. What are the things that are important to you? Now, Scripture says that God values one thing, and you can all guess what it is. You can just look at the screen behind me. God says that it's impossible to please God without faith. And I have to be honest with you, if I look at the church in South Africa, I don't think that faith is on the top of that list of what we value. We value a lot of things, but I don't think we value faith as much as we do other things. As stewardship, as a lot of other things that are good things. Those things are good. But I want to be honest with you, I don't think, if I look at the church, I don't think God is pleased with the church. If you look at Hebrews, God says that he who comes to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God is pleased by faith. In fact, Jesus comes, and we're going to look at this in a while, but Jesus tells a parable. He says, listen, this is what happened. This was this woman, and she had this need, and she went to the master, and she continually begged the master. And eventually the master was wearied by a request that he eventually gave into the request. So we read that scripture, we think, okay, great, God, Jesus says we must, perseverance is important. Perseverance is a good thing. But the very next verse, Jesus says that if the Son of Man comes back, will he find faith? In other words, he's saying, listen, perseverance is good, but there's a greater thing than that, and that is faith. It is trusting in God's word, trusting in who he says he is and what he will do. Because remember, Jesus said that we will do greater works than even he did. And that is the challenge that you and I have, because we're not doing greater works than Jesus did. Do you guys agree with me? You know, has anyone seen a Lazarus raised from the dead this past week? Okay, so we need to up the standard, because that is the promise of God. But now, faith is a precious commodity. And I want to share, you know, one of the things that really stirred this in us as a team in going to Kinshasa, Congo, and, you know, ministering to churches. But we felt specifically, and we shared it before we went, that God wanted us to go to Congo, across the Congo River to not the Democratic Republic of Congo, but to Congo, Brazzaville. It's quite an interesting situation. The two capitals of the two countries sitting right across each other, and then this massive river in between. So we went over the river. We felt that that's what the Lord wanted for us. As we came to the other side, we noticed a big difference in the two countries. If you looked at just the people, you could see that the people of Congo in Brazzaville, they don't know God. You could see it in their, I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but you can see if someone's following God, you can see it in their faces. There's something different. Now, the people in Kinshasa, the Christianity is doing, these big churches there, a lot of Christians. We can talk about the church, but there's a lot of Christians. But if you go across the river, there's not a lot of Christians, and you can pick it up if you just look at the surroundings. The Brazzaville or the Congo was a communist country, so they weren't open for the gospel for many years. But that's changed now, and we were very encouraged going there, knowing that the gospel is open and God can do amazing things in that country. But in any case, so we noticed, we went in there, and we noticed we saw a lot of people that were disabled. People walking on crutches, wheelchairs, blind people, all of that. And one of the words that God gave us when we went there is that we're going to go on the streets and pray for people. And like Jesus, just experience what God has done. So immediately, and we wanted to pray for the people, but unfortunately we were on a bit of a tight schedule. We were on our way to a church service and we had to preach there, so we had to rush off. But eventually what the people told us is that what happens is the disabled people get a discount on their tax to cross the border. So that's why there were hundreds of disabled people in the port area. So what happens is the business people pay the disabled people to do business on their behalf. So it creates jobs for the disabled people. But in any case, so in this one street, you can ask the guys, this. Hundreds of people on crutches and wheelchairs and everything. So we really felt that we must go and pray for the people. So we went to the church service, and the next day, we only went for a day. We spent one night in Congo. We felt that we must go back and pray for the people. So it was just before we had to cross the border. We started just, Donna pulled out his guitar and we started worshiping. And instantly, as we started singing, a crowd sort of started to form. But it was a bit chaos, because there was lots of people, and then there were some people that were mocking, and it was quite an intense vibe. But in any case, there were a crowd of people. They immediately came, and Donna sang in Lingala, so the people could understand. So they started singing with us, and we sort of did a short, just invitation to pray, and then we started praying for the people. And this is the thing that challenged us, because we prayed for a couple of people, prayed for people with knee problem, the knee got healed, back problem got healed, various things. But I have to be honest with you. I think we prayed for more than 20 people that were blind. Johan, more than 20 blind people. And none of the blind people saw. You could see after we prayed for them. So I was challenged there. You know, because we really had this conviction that we were supposed to go to these people and pray for them. But yet, we, with all of our faith that we could muster, we couldn't see any people getting healed from blindness. And now you can go and say, but now, you know, Jesus went to Nazareth and only a couple of people got healed. So we weren't maybe necessarily received in that place. But that's not sufficient to me. And I was challenged in that situation because that's not what Jesus has promised me. And you know, seeing about 20 people being, you know, prayed for and their eyes not open, I'm not now going to base my faith on the experience. Because I believe that the next person or the other people that I'm still going to pray for someone with eyes, blind eyes, and they're going to see. And in fact, I have prayed. But now I've taken up the challenge to grow my faith. And in that moment, I realized that there's a lot of things that I do value, but not faith. And I honestly believe that that's on the top of God's priority list. He's pleased with our faith. Look at this, 1 Peter 1, verse 1. It says that this is the letter from Simon Peter. It writes to the church. He says, I'm a slave and an apostle of Jesus Christ. So he says, he writes to the people, introduces himself, and he identifies with a person, Jesus Christ. And he says, to this person, I relate in two ways. Firstly, I relate to him as a slave. In other words, what is a slave? A slave is someone that has surrendered their ambitions, their dreams, their desires in this life to serve someone else. Secondly, he says, but I identify myself with this person in another way as an apostle. Apostle means a sent one. Someone that knows they're on a mission. Someone that knows they're called. Their life's purpose is for this person. In this case, obviously, Jesus Christ. But then he says, I'm writing to you who share the same precious faith we have. See, he calls it a precious faith. He says, this faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. Now, what he's not saying, he's not saying to the people, listen here, God is fair, and that's why he's given you the faith that you have. That's not what he's saying. Because it's not fair. The salvation that you and I get, it's not fair. It's unfair. We call it grace. It's unmerited favor. You did not earn it. You did not earn your salvation. You got it freely. It's a free gift. Okay? So he's not talking about that. So what is he talking about? What he's talking about is he as Peter, the apostle, that preached the first sermon that's ever preached as a Christian, seeing 3,000 people come into Christ, seeing massive miracles, people raised from the dead, healings, demons being cast out. He's saying, listen, you people of this church, you have the same precious faith as I have. You're no different. You're no different. Your faith is not different from an apostle, someone that walked the earth with Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that exciting to you guys? The same faith that Peter the apostle had, you and I can have. You know, and often we read the scriptures, we look at the faith heroes of scripture, and we think, wow, these are giants of the faith. But no, you and I can have the same faith as these people. God is not unfair in that regard. We can have the same faith as God. Now, the start of this journey that I call it is the initial point. The initial point says, as I mentioned earlier, Jesus is the author of our faith. So it starts with our salvation. God gives us a free gift. He gives us our faith. Okay? Scripture says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So in other words, faith is not imagination. Faith is not something we make up. Faith is substance. See, there's there's a heavenly realm, and which is real. And God lives in this heavenly realm. He lives in the heavens, the spiritual realm, whatever you want to call it. By faith, you and I access the heavenly realm. So we access this substance of things in the heavenlies that you and I access when we activate our faith. So in other words, healing and the gifts, words of knowledge, these things we access by faith. It's not part of the natural world that you and I see. It's part of a supernatural world, but we access it by faith. Faith, the scripture says, is the evidence. Okay? So you and I, all of us will know that the day that you came to Christ, when you received your salvation, you knew God was real. There was a substance. You know, it wasn't just something that you made up. It was reality. There was a substance telling you that this God is real. Scripture calls it, it says that we cry out, Abba, Father. Something inside of us responds. You know, and anyone can come up to you and they can try and convince you that God is not real, but you know, because you've got the substance. You know that God is real. You hear His voice. You know Him. And that crying, that Abba, Father is there. So that's the initial faith. That's the saving faith that you and I get when we come to Christ. And Scripture says, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 says, for grace, by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God. We're not saved by our works. We're not saved by what we do. We're not saved by what we think, or we cannot save ourselves. It's the gift of God by faith. All right? So all of us have this. And if you can just go back to the previous slide, Bianca. I want to just use that picture. It's a bit dark, but it's the picture of the adulterous woman coming to Jesus. We all know the story. The adulterous woman comes to Jesus, or the Pharisees, the scribes, throw her down before Jesus. They said, Jesus, this woman has been caught in the act. According to the law of Moses, she must be stoned right now. So, of course, Pharisees, the scribes, they want to put Jesus into a situation where they can have something against him, something to persecute him. So they put him, they test him by putting him in this situation. What does Jesus do? He stands up, draws a line in the sand, and then he says this. He says, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. We know what happened. One by one, the Pharisees left. The scribes left. And eventually it was just Jesus and the woman. She was sitting there. He was there. And Jesus says to her, woman, where are your accusers? And then he says to her, neither do I condemn you. But now, listen carefully to what Jesus says. He says, neither do I condemn you. He doesn't say, neither are you condemned. All right? It's a subtle difference in words, but a massive implication. Because the woman sitting there before Jesus is condemned. It's true. The law of Moses did say that she was supposed to be stoned for what she had done. But Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. See, there's a message in the church going around called the free grace movement. Or we call it the free grace. The people preaching it won't say it's the free grace movement. But what it comes down to is, as you can do everything that you want to, but the grace of God will cover it. You know, or everything is focused on your purpose and your destiny, and the grace of God is just there to enable you to get there. Not the truth. But you know what? When Jesus saw that woman, it wasn't the cheap statement that Jesus was saying. It wasn't cheap grace. Because Jesus, when he said those words to that woman, guess what? He was going to pay the price for that woman. When he said to her, neither do I condemn you, it was a weighty statement. I can just imagine being in the position of Jesus, knowing that the condemnation that she just was supposed to receive, that he withheld, is going to be placed on himself. So that's a picture of the grace that God has for you and I. It's a grace that is free, but it's not cheap. And that is the faith that gets activated. It stirs a thankfulness in our hearts, but an ability and a capacity to connect with the Father. That's the basic faith that you and I have. But it doesn't stop there. Because you and I can't do anything. This is the gift. It's freely given. You cannot do anything to earn a gift. It's given to you. Right. That's the capacity to respond to God and to respond in the kingdom. The second part of this journey is what I call building faith. Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Okay? So we've got this basic capacity of faith to respond to God and to do things in the kingdom. But then there's a place when you and I can build our faith. By digging into scripture, we can strengthen our faith. We can grow our faith. But now, there's a reason why faith is not a popular thing. In fact, I forgot to say this, but the scripture in 1 Peter 1, actually check the contemporary translations, the New Living Translation, Living Translation, the Message Translation, all the translations in modern language, and none of those translations actually use the word faith. They use ways to explain what Peter is saying, but they don't use the word faith. And I realized that's actually what our society has come to, what our church has come to. We almost try to dodge the issue of faith because faith is ridiculed in the world. Okay? It's not a clever thing to have faith. You know, people frown upon even Christians. If you would go to a Christian and say, listen, I'm not gonna have a medical aid. You know, or I'm going to sell all that I have. Some people are going to say to you, but listen, that's not wise. That's not a good thing to do. And I'm not saying one should do it, but I'm also not saying that it's not possible that God would tell you to do it. Because it happened in Scripture. Jesus came to the rich young man. He said, listen, sell all that you have. But as today, we would say that's not wise. And that's another thing. Another thing we value is wisdom. But now I want to ask you, what is wisdom? Wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Now, the place where Jesus talks about fearing God is where he says to the people, listen, don't worry what you will wear, what you will eat, because don't I take care of the birds of the air? Don't I take care of nature? How much more will I take care of you? So that wisdom is found in God. So you and I can strengthen our faith by spending time in the Word. In Old Testament times, when the people of God, when the Jewish people moved away from God and stopped following God, the scripture says that there was no knowledge of God. Okay? And today we think of knowledge a bit different. We think of knowledge in terms of facts, in terms of a list of things. But in those days, knowledge, or when the Bible talks about the knowledge of God, it talks about something different. If you look at when these nations would eventually come back to God, the big revivals of the Old Testament, who can tell me what happened when the big revivals happened? Is someone would come, a person like Ezra, Nehemiah, or one of the prophets, they would come and they would say, listen, let's consider what God has done. Then they would begin to tell the stories. They would begin to talk about when they came out of Egypt, went through the Red Sea, and then Moses up Mount Sinai, and they would begin to tell stories. And then the response of the people, as Ezra would open up the scriptures and read these things, the people would start weeping, as their faith is suddenly activated again. So the knowledge of God, if you look at Old Testament scripture, is stories. is telling, is listening to the stories of what happened, testimonies. You know, even if you can take it right through Old Testament, the prophets, all the time this happened. Even in the book of Acts with the apostle Stephen, when he started preaching, one of the big revivals that happened in the book of Acts is when they stoned Stephen. But now, what did he do when he started preaching? He started right at the start. He said, "Listen, this is what God has done." He started sharing the stories of what happened in David, and all these people. They started remembering the stories. All right. So the stories of Scripture stirs our faith. But now, the difference between someone in a Pakistan or someone in China that's reads the Scripture and they've got massive faith, is that you and I, without knowing it, have a lot of stories in our minds and in our hearts, but not necessarily stories of Scripture. Because you know what the most powerful stories of today are? We call it movies. Okay? Movies is not just entertainment these days. When you watch a movie, there's a worldview communicated. There's a story that's told. And if you open up your heart to that story, you're going to buy into something. I almost want to call it faith. It's not faith, but it's almost like faith. Faith is a very normal thing of this world. It's a very, you know, we come across faith all the time, but it's a different faith than the faith of Scripture, because the faith of Scripture is obviously based on the truth. All right. But now the thing is this, is you and I, when we read the stories, and I want us to be really honest, you know, what are the stories? Because life is actually just about stories. Everything that inspires you, everything that motivates you, everything that ambitions that you have, you can trace it back to a story that was being told. Maybe it's Raymond Ackerman that was so successful and he became, you know, from nothing. It's a story, but it stirs something inside of us. All right? Now, I want us to be very honest. What are the stories, and we're going to actually end off with this, is what are the stories that you have in your heart that is maybe not of God? Because those stories will limit the faith that God has for you. That will limit the destiny and the plans and the purposes of God for you to walk in. The capacity to flow in that faith, those gifts. So when it says faith comes by hearing, it's talking about the stories. And it's not just the stories of Scripture, it's testimonies. Listening to testimonies, you know, of people. That's why small group is so amazing, because we can come together and we can share of what God has done. We share the stories. This is what God has done in my life. The moment the person says it, something happens in your heart that you want that thing. And often you'd see when in a group, in a community of believers, when a breakthrough happens for a person, it happens for another person and another person. So when we're going to pray for a blind person and the blind person sees, guess what? It's going to happen often. But it's a challenge that you and I need to take upon ourselves. We're going to grow our faith. Okay, so anyone excited yet? Anyone wants to join me on this journey? Great. Okay. Awesome. So that's the second part, is the stories. Ileana's actually, she felt the Lord said that she must read up on revivals, because those are stories. Stirs something in us. So she's actually just reading up on it, and she wants to come and share with us some of the things of past revival, so we can just listen and stir our faith, allow God to stir something in us to want for today. Because you know what? The stories that you listen to will determine your desires. So there's nothing wrong. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with watching movies. But now, you must be very careful on how you open your heart towards that movie. And often the thing that we want to do is when we get tired, when we discouraged, is what you want to do. Or if you're exhausted from work, you want to come home and watch a movie. You want to watch TV. That's the worst time to watch a movie. Because then your heart is open to buy into the thing that's being sold. Does it make sense? Okay. Point number three. doing faith. James says it so clearly. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and they shudder. So he's coming and he's saying, listen, it's one thing to say that you believe in God, but listen, the demons also believe. But there's a difference between the demons and us is the fact that we have a capacity for faith. What we're talking about tonight. You and I have a capacity to connect to the things of God. The substance. But demons do not have that. But now he says, listen, it's one thing to say you have faith, but you don't really have faith unless you act upon that faith. Because faith is a doing word. Faith, I don't know who said it, but someone said once, faith has got feet. Faith has got hands and feet because it's a doing thing. It's something, you know, that God stirs in us to do something. This morning I was at Tableview Shofar, and I shared the same message because this is just something that God has been working with me. And I shared about this faith, also shared about the blind people. And I realized that God is looking for us for opportunities. Because you know what? This world is a broken world. The world is in need of people that would walk in faith. Smith Wigglesworth, he was called the apostle of faith. Because he just had such a childlike faith. Go and read some of his books and his writings of what Smith did. But he just had such a pure, innocent, childlike faith. Remember once he shared a story of how he went to this woman, and this was a woman that was mentally not right, and she was demon possessed, actually. You know, so people didn't know what to do, doctors didn't know what to do, but eventually they called Smith. They because, you know, in those days, you know, he was very well known. So the people went and they got him, and he went to the woman and he started praying for him, and he said, in the name of Jesus, demon, come out. And nothing happened, but he turned around, walked out of the door. And as he went down the steps of the house, a woman came running towards him. But this demon had taken control of her, and she was possessed by this demon. And this demon started screaming at him. So he turned around and he said to the demon, did I not say to you, go out in the name of Jesus? Woman started shaking and the demon left her instantly. You know, he just had such a childlike faith. In one place in his life, I think you must correct me if I've got the wrong number, but I think in his lifetime he saw 30 people being raised from the dead. Is that right, Wilbur? 30 people, more or less. So once a journalist came to Smith and said, Smith, you must have amazing faith. How do you get it right? How do you see so many people being raised from the dead? Think about it. 30 people being raised from the dead. So Smith turned to the guy and he said, listen, if you've prayed for as many dead people as I have, you would also see so many people raised from the dead. In other words, he laid hands on hundreds of dead people and a couple of them stood. But now Smith made the decision. He's not going to base his faith on his experience. He's going to base his faith on his God because his God is faithful. We don't understand. We don't know always why we pitch our faith and it doesn't happen. You know, why we trusted God for this and it didn't come through. We don't know why. And in fact, I believe the church today, there's many people that are disillusioned with God because they've based their faith on experience. One bad experience and they've walked away from God. Their faith is shipwrecked. You know, it's not, and they've walked away from that. Maybe they call themselves Christians still, but their faith is not working. They're not trusting God. But now God has called us to a place where we trust in Him regardless of our circumstances, regardless of the outcome. Sometimes you'll pray for someone and they'll get healed. Sometimes they won't. But God is faithful. And so, I was sharing this message this morning at Tableview, and I was driving back to home and was driving on the M5, and I saw this horrible accident just before me. And a while back, I sort of made a deal with God. You know, if there's an accident, I'm going to stop and I'm going to go and pray for the people. You know, because, you know, in any case, few people stop for accidents these days in any case. So I stopped, and it was a horrible accident. There was a guy on a motorbike, and he was lying in the middle of the road, three lanes, and he was in the middle. The cars were sort of just dodging. And I got out, and there was another guy that helped me. He helped the traffic. And I prepared myself for the worst, because I just saw, as driving past, I just saw blood everywhere. So I don't know what was happening with this guy, but he was like on the ground, and he was like, you know, moving around and, you know, squirming, full of, you know, it was just pain. So I was preparing myself, because I couldn't even see his face. It was just full of blood. So I just put my hand up on him, and I just started praying for him, and he just calmed. In that moment, he stopped squirming and just lay down peacefully. And I prayed for him again. Then he started talking to me. You know, so I really believe that God came to touch him in a way. And I said to him, listen, because I didn't know what's going to happen to the guy. I said, listen, can I pray for you to, you know, accept Christ or to recommit to Christ? So he said, no, he doesn't want to do that. But I knew that was what God was requiring of me, just to pray for the man, just to show him the love of Jesus. You know, so I don't know what's, you know, and then the ambulances came and he was fine and everything was fine. I don't know what's going to happen with him, but I know that he experienced God's love. If he's honest with it or not, that's not my part. My part is to go there and pray. But the thing is this, is there's a great need. It's just this morning, it's the first time I preached this message, and already God has, you know, created opportunity. In fact, I believe, we say this often, but I believe at least there's at least one appointment in this life. Every day, one appointment that God has for you and I. For us to walk in, for us to trust, for someone to experience God. Amen. Then the fourth thing, final thing, before we're going to pray tonight, is this faith is that we respond to, that we start to do, activate it in our hearts, and then we begin to do it. The next step is not just to do it once, but as I said just now, to make it a lifestyle, living faith, that it becomes second nature. But you know what? The exciting thing, the amazing thing is, God is a Father. The fact that we, the Congo guys, that we went to pray for the people. I had such a sense afterwards. I said in the church service afterwards. I said, I had such an overwhelming sense that God was pleased with us. Even though none of the blind people saw, I was convinced God is so pleased with us. Just the fact that we're going out, we're stepping out in faith. God takes pleasure in that. You know, once again, going back to Peter. Peter was the one that walked on water. Guess what? The other 11 disciples, they never walked on water. Well, at least not that we know of. But now, God takes pleasure in those that just step out in faith, because we trust in Him. Because you know what? Faith is a relational quality. It's something we do because we trust God, we love God. So in saying that, we're saying to God, listen, God, we trust you, we love you. We're going to step out in faith. We're going to trust in what your word says. Hebrews 11, verse 6, we've talked about the scripture often tonight. But with faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Okay? So diligently talks of a lifestyle. It talks about something that we don't just give up after trying once. It talks about a lifestyle of faith, of walking in the things that God has for us, what He's called us to. Now, the amazing thing is, on that same day when we went to Congo, we had a church service in the evening, so we prayed for the people and quickly rushed across the border We had a church service 5 o'clock, and we were already late for the church service. And just before the service, Pastor Jean-Paul comes to me and he says, "No, Pastor, I want you to preach because you're the leader of it. This is a big church. I want you to preach." So now, I hadn't prepared to preach a message that night because I thought, "No, these guys, they have got lots of faith and, you know, a lot of excitement to preach." So I thought, you know, one of them are going to preach. But in any case, so now he puts me on the spot. I've got 5 minutes to prepare this message. And, you know, he says it's a big church. You know, it's not just a 100-seated church. I think it was a 1,500, 2,000-seated church. So we got there, and we feel a bit like superstars because, you know, everyone's worshiping. We step up, and then Dono gets called up to do the worship, and, you know, he just goes with his guitar, and, you know, then I had to preach. Anyway, so I felt two things in just worshiping before the service, or in the worship. I felt God said, I must be honest. So I felt to tell the people that we prayed for 20 blind people and none of them saw. I don't know why. That doesn't make sense. I don't know about you, but no, you're on. Great. It says red. So it's working by faith. Any case, so I felt God. Hello. Great. So in any case, I felt to share that. I felt to be honest with the people about that. And then the second thing is I felt that there were 5 people that the Lord showed me. 5 specific people. I felt God wanted to release them into some sort of ministry. So now there's lots of people in the church. And God shows me specific, very specific. Great. Thanks, Ferry. Very specific words for these 5 people. But now the first thing, God says, I must share this word first. And the word was a person with just white on. And I thought, that's weird. You know, to call up a person with just white on, what's the significance of just white? The other words were deep, you know, like God is working in your heart. And they were like, you know, they sounded cooler to me. But now God said, now share the word of the white clothes first. So I shared the word, and then I think it was 6 people that came up. So I don't know if I got it wrong or, you know, someone was more excited, but there were 6 people that responded. But now I realized afterwards that then there came a guy with just white clothes on. He was standing there, and I realized afterwards that that was a sign to the church. That was for the church to know that God is doing something here. Because all the other words you can sort of, you know, yes, we're not sure. But that word, everyone could see this man has got a white suit on and God called him to stand here. Any case, you can ask the guys. Eventually God, you know, it was amazing. People prayed for them and they fell in the power of God. And we prayed. We prayed that night. I mean, everyone in the church wanted prayer. So we literally prayed for about 600 people between the 5 of us. So we like laid hands, oil, lots of oil. It was really, really amazing. But that guy in the suit, I promise you, we were busy for about two hours. But he was on the floor weeping for 2 hours, shaking as just God was just dealing in his heart. I remember I tried to speak to him afterwards, but he couldn't speak to me because he was like broken. You know, it was like almost like he was drunk in the Holy Spirit. But God just did something in his life. And then I felt that there were 2 people whose hands were felt like there was fire on their hands. So 2 people came forward. Then I felt that there were 2 people with terminal illnesses. So 2 people came forward. And I said to the people, you with the hands, lay hands on those people. And the people just experienced God. You know, it was amazing. I was just standing there as the people prayed for them. They fell under the power of God. Then I felt that there was a lady with a tumor. Then she came forward crying in tears. amazing stuff that God did that service, and amazing how God just came through. But now that's the thing with God, is you cannot manipulate God. You cannot say to God, you must work here and you must work there, because He decides. And that's the thing about God, because in the church, and you know, in popular Christianity, we've got what we call a false anointing. It's actually very, very rife in the church. That's why the church needs to discern, the modern day church, where there's lots of people moving in the false anointing. It looks like the Holy Spirit. It sounds like the Holy Spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit. And the difference between the false anointing and the anointing of the Holy Spirit is the false anointing responds when you want it to respond. God doesn't respond when you want it to respond. If your life is in a mess, guess what? God is not going to respond, because God cares for you. He's a father. A father's not going to jump at your every command, but the false anointing will. So that's why God wants His sons and His daughters to be close to Him, to be dependent on Him. So that's why I believe many times we pray for people and they don't get healed. Because God wants us to be dependent on Him, to be close to Him, to not know, and to give the glory to Him. Because that's what it's all about, is to give the glory to His Son, Jesus. Amen. So, this evening I want to encourage us to come before God with open hearts, to say, Lord, I want to embark on this journey, and maybe the Lord has been speaking to you, you know, for a while, or maybe even for years. But if you want to maybe come tonight and say, Lord, I want to embark on this journey. I want to take this journey on and grow my faith. And I want to allow you, Lord, to come and shift my priority list around. Because I'm going to be honest with you and say, maybe this is more important to me, or this is more important to me, or this, maybe success. Maybe I value success more than I value faith. Then the opportunity is here for us tonight to say, Lord, come and do a work in my heart. Maybe we've bought into stories. I have to be honest. I've probably bought into stories that are not of God, and I have to be honest with God. Say, Lord, I've got this desire, and I was inspired by this, and nothing wrong by being inspired by other people, but is your faith based on the truth of what God has? So that is the invitation tonight. So I want us to please stand. If Megan can come up. Thanks. And I want to ask Megan to just play for us on the keyboard. And I want you to bring your heart before God. Because as I said at the start, I really feel excited that we like an intimate group tonight, because the right people are here. God wants to do a work. But I want you to be honest, and God needs you to be honest. He cannot work in our lives like He challenged me to be honest before that whole church. And it felt to me like, you know, I'm doing the worst thing possible. Yeah, I'm saying to people that God did not respond after we prayed for people at the start of a service. But yet that's exactly what God required. Because God doesn't work through reason. Yes, the faith, the Christian faith, is reasonable. It's the most reasonable than all other worldviews. We can talk about that. That's a completely different message. But yet God requires, He takes pleasure in His children. He takes pleasure in a Peter walking on the water, putting everything on the line, making himself open to look like an idiot. But now my question to you tonight is, when last did you put yourself in a situation where if God did not come through for you, you would look like an idiot? Or you would not make it? Because that is faith. Because the grace that that the Lord has given us, the grace to be able to have faith, did not come cheaply for him. No, it cost him a massive price. It cost him his life to give us what you and I have. But now this faith is such a precious gift. It's such a precious thing. And tonight, the invitation is to align our hearts to the heart of the Father. To say, Lord, I want to have what is precious to you become precious to me. So let's bow our heads. Where you're standing, just be honest with God. Say to Lord, Lord, maybe you're here tonight and your faith is a bit shipwrecked. In fact, in the area of your life, you haven't been stepping out in faith. Because you were hurt, because you trusted for something, it didn't come through. Tonight, God wants to heal you of that hurt. I believe for someone here tonight, God wants you to give you the capacity to see things that other people don't see. And in fact, you've had the ability to do that. You could see into the spiritual world, but it almost scared you. But now, God says that He wants to take that thing and He wants to redeem it. Because He will not scare you. He will use it for His glory. He will use it for His sake. For some of us, maybe there's fear. But now I want to encourage you with this, because this is the truth. Is that is your fear of the people, your fear of man, is it greater than your fear of God? I often ask this question these days to myself as well. Is your devil bigger than your God? Because that will determine what you do. So Father, we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come into our hearts, to renew our hearts, to renew our faith, Lord, to restore our faith. Lord, to some of us, you want to restore our saving faith, our ability to relate to the Father. I want to ask that you would come and do that. Won't you just, where you standing while every eye is closed? No one's going to see. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. But if your saving faith, in other words, that thing that cries out, Abba Father, that calls you into relationship with God is not there. It's like it's numb. Situation and circumstance have caused you to neglect it. In fact, people have ridiculed you. And so you've drawn away from that. But tonight I believe that God wants to restore that thing. That substance to cry out to the Father. So just quickly, where you're standing, just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Thank you for those hands. There's a couple of hands going up. Just keep your hands raised, please. I'm not going to ask you to come forward, but God wants to do something special in your heart tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord. God is already busy doing it. He's already busy mending hearts, changing hearts, restoring daughters and sons to Himself. So, Father, we ask that you would restore. Come, Holy Spirit. You are the Spirit that cries out, Abba, Father. So we invite you as the helper. Come and help your precious sons and daughters, Lord. Be able to connect with you once again. To be able to respond to you in saving faith, in knowing that you are close, that you are near, you are close by. Father, I pray for hearts encounters. That Lord, right now you would mend hearts, heal hearts. Holy Spirit, you are the healer. That you would heal, Father. In Jesus' name. And Father, we bring to you every story that was never inspired by you, that was never brought about by you, but we've believed into it. Lord, we surrender those stories. I want you to be honest with God. Just Raise both your hands if there's things that you want to surrender. Lord, I surrender that that is not from you. The Holy Spirit is faithful. He'll show you if it's not from you. But as He shows you, just raise both your hands. Say, Lord, I'm giving up this desire. I'm giving up this thing. You know what? The Bible says that a seed cannot begin to grow unless it dies. Sometimes some of the things in our hearts, and sometimes it feels like we're going to die. But it needs to die so that life can come. I believe that God, I just see this picture of life just springing forth, and God wants to do it in your heart as you surrender that thing, as the seed dies into the soil, it sprouts up into eternal life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for renewal. Thank you, Lord, that you make all things new. Thank you, Lord, that you remove the past, you give new things, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Can I ask us to be very bold? And to quickly, in groups of two, turn to the person next to you and just be very honest. Bible says if we bring things to the light, God is faithful and just to forgive us, to change us, to make us new. So just share with the person next to you. Say, listen, this is on my heart. Remember, faith can only happen if it touches our hearts. Religion is ritual, is things that we do. Religion is a form of Christianity without it touching our hearts. God wants us to touch our hearts. He wants to work in our hearts. So the moment that you and I live in this life, we live in our Christian walks, and it doesn't affect our hearts, we are busy with religion. That is not life. Jesus has come to give life, and life in abundance. And that's what He has for us. So quickly share with the person next to you, and let's just pray for each other. I believe God has got something in the community, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit amongst us as we pray. Let's do that. You can do it in groups of three as well. Quickly find someone and just pray with the people.